Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Can you give God your best love on Easter? Y'all sound so good. And, you know, I just want to encourage those of you that are here on the campus that our outside festivities are going on all day until 4 o'clock. The food trucks, the games, the activities, the giveaways, all that's going on until 4 o'clock this afternoon. So we're thankful. Amen. Open your Bible with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. On the weekends, we've been talking about being a doer of God's Word. But I wanted to deviate just a little bit this weekend on Resurrection Weekend. And I wanted to talk to you about the power of the cross. The power of the cross. You know, Kim and I, pray for us now. You don't have to clap or anything. Just pray for us. But this is our 40th year of ministry. We've been in the ministry for 40 years. And 40 years ago, my very first sermon, that when we got out of college and internship, we were at a church in Iowa, First Assembly of God Church in Mason City, Iowa. I was the youth pastor, and the pastor took a big risk, and he let me have the pulpit on a Sunday. And my first sermon, I still have the cassette tape of my first sermon, and the title of it was The Power of the Cross. So 40 years later, I'm still talking about the power of the cross. And I really want to land today on our purpose, you know, is to help people know God. And number two is then once you know God, find God, is then to help people find freedom. To be delivered from bondages, addictions, like my wife said, tormenting thoughts, your past. A lot of people are so caught up on their past, they can't focus on God's plan for their life. So I want to talk about freedom today. I want to talk about how that Jesus came to set us free. And there's power on the cross to set us free. So we don't have to live as a slave. We don't have to live in bondage. But you and I can live a free, abundant, overcoming life. Y'all with me, church? Amen. So let's look at it, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But I want to remind you that on Thursday night, that was the Last Supper, Bible story now, Bible history. Thursday evening was the Last Supper. Y'all remember those pictures you see of Jesus and the disciples? The Last Supper. And Thursday night was the Last Supper. Thursday night was the night that he washed the disciples' feet. Thursday night is when there was the betrayal of Judas. And then all through the night, the kangaroo courts, they all broke the law. They were illegal, all the different courts they took Jesus through. On Friday morning, the scourging and the cross, 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon, Jesus died. They didn't kill him. He gave up the ghost for you and me. He laid his life down willingly for you and for me. So at 3 o'clock on Friday, it's called Good Friday. Why is it called Good Friday? Because on Friday, through his death on the cross, he paid for our penalty and punishment of sin. On Friday, he paid a debt he didn't owe. We owed a debt we could not pay. We needed someone, and that someone was Jesus Christ. On Good Friday, it really wasn't good for him, but it was good for us. Because what did he do? That he paid the penalty of our past sin, our present sin, and any sin we ever commit in the future. He paid the penalty and the punishment for our sin. And then on Sunday morning, the third day, what did he do? He rose from the dead, right? And because he is risen, you and I are going to be resurrected in the future. Amen. Because he lives, you and I are going to live forever and ever and ever. It's called eternal life. But on Sunday, through his resurrection, he purchased. Now on Friday, he paid. But on Sunday, he purchased our freedom. Our freedom. Freedom from being a slave to bondages, to hurt, to hang-ups, to habits, to our past, to fear, to anxiety, to worry, all the above. On Sunday, when he rose from the dead, he purchased our freedom. Now, I want to start with a question, and I want you to think about this here and at home and on the patio. Think about this. Here's the question. What is it in your life, if you could get rid of it today? What is that thorn in your flesh? That thorn in your flesh, that harassing thought, that event from the past, that pain, that problem, the pressure, maybe people. What is that disappointment, that rejection, that harassment, that opposition, that persecution, that depression, that generational curse? What in your life, if you could get rid of it today, would make your life better? Selah, think about that. What is it in my life that's troubling me? What is it in my life that I'm tripping over? What is the habit I can't seem to get over? What is the thought process I can't break loose from? What is the relationship? What is that memory in my past? What is that fear of my future, the unknown? What is that thing in my life that I could get rid of it today? My life would be better. I submit to you today, family, that Jesus went to the cross to make your life better. Jesus went to the cross to make our life better. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some scriptures. Those of you that are Church on the Rock folk, you know this is the way we do it, right? I'm going to give you scriptures, and I want you to forget about me, and I want you to let God's word speak to you today. Will you do that for me? And so I'm going to give you lots of scriptures, and then I'm going to conclude with, I'm going to give you seven steps that will bring freedom in your life today. The road to freedom, the road to breakthrough, the road to deliverance, the road to freedom. I'm going to end it with seven steps, very practical. You and I can apply immediately and get rid of that thing in our life, that if we got rid of it, it'd make our life better. Now, if we listen today and we don't act on it, but I know that I'm talking to doers of the Word of God. But if there was someone that would just sit and listen and not act on what I want to teach today, your life will continue to be dysfunctional and broken and defeated and depressed and dejected and rejected. And that's not God's plan for you. So I submit to you, I encourage you, take some notes, follow along, get ready for the seven steps to the road to freedom. What say ye, church? Okay, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross, and that's what I get to do today, and I sure do love you, and I thank God for the privilege of talking to you today about the cross and the power that's in the cross. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish, that means sinners, non-believers, carnal people, people without God, it's foolishness. It's nothing more than a cross on a chain around someone's neck. It's foolishness to them. But unto us, which are saved, it is the what? Power of God. The same Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you today. The same Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Maybe there's some areas of your life today that is dying, decaying, and looking like it's dead and it's over. I submit to you today, why don't you and I embrace the power of the cross? Why don't we embrace that Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and let Him bring to life those areas of your life that's decaying, dying, and looking like it's over today. So the preaching of the cross, the power of God, and then let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin, didn't I tell you that there is a wage for sin? There's a price for sin. There's a punishment and a penalty. And on Friday, it was good because when He died, Jesus, at 3 o'clock, He paid our penalty and the wages of our sin for us. Every sin we've ever committed in the past, every sin we have committed in the present, and every sin we'll ever commit in the future. That's good news, isn't it? He paid the penalty. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to read to you verses 1 through 11. Now, church, what I want you to do, and Church on the Rock Online, and those of you in the Rock Express, and the overflow out on the patio with a big screen, I want you to let God talk to you, because in these 11 verses are the seven steps. In these 11 verses are the seven steps to freedom, the road to freedom. How to get free from the bondage, the slavery, the mindset, our past, our hurt, our hang-ups, our habits, things that have happened to us, experiences and events and disappointments in our life, addictions, alcoholism, drug abuse, how to get past the incest, the abortion, the rape, the abuse growing up in your home, dysfunction. How do we get over that, Pastor? How do we get free from that? In these 11 verses, it's going to give us the seven steps. Here we go. Ephesians 1, verse 1. I, Paul, I'm under God's plan as an apostle and a special agent. Notice that Paul is a secret agent man. That's a joke now, y'all. Secret agent man. Okay, you got to be old to remember that song. It's a cool song. I used to have it as a ring on my smartphone. Secret. Okay, praise God. I'm under God's plan. So you and I today, we want to not focus on our past, but we want to focus on God's plan for our life. And he said, I'm under God's plan as a special agent of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to you faithful believers at the church in St. Louis. Next verse, verse 2. I greet you with grace and peace. Aren't you thankful for those two words? Can you say it with me? Grace and peace. Oh, it just sounds good, doesn't it? Grace and peace. He said, I greet you with grace and peace that's poured into our lives by God our Father and our Master Jesus Christ. You know, you might be listening to me today and maybe you're visiting or maybe you've been unchurched or away from church or maybe you're in church and you're struggling with your relationship with God. And you say, Pastor, I'd like to know how to love God more. How do I love God more? Let me give you two ways. When you get to know Him better, number one. And number two, when you discover all that He's done for you, you begin to love Him more. When you find out who He really is, because see, your picture of God and my picture of God determines how I approach God. Our picture of God determines how we pray, how we ask, how we approach God. But when you see God as a good God who wants to pour into your life grace and favor and power and strength and stamina and stability and mercy and peace and joy, when you see Him as that kind of a God, and then you realize all that He's done for you, you can't help but love Him just a little bit more. Can I have a witness at Church on the Rock? Amen. You see, if you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God, then He's God your Father. He's God your Father. Something that I've noticed as I've watched a lot of really famous sports heroes, a lot of the greats had a good relationship with their father. A Michael Jordan, The list goes on. You know, it's so important that you and I realize that we have a Heavenly Father who wants to pour into our life, speak over our life, the person we can become. He's not looking down on us. He's not degrading us. He's not cursing at us. He's not calling us names. He believes in us, our Heavenly Father. He's speaking His word over us. He sees us as we can become. And out of that relation, having a Heavenly Father who is for you, by the way, God is for you. You can't help but be an achiever, a winner, and an overcomer. You know, here lately, I've been watching a young man in the news. And he's had this amazing comeback. And when I watched this comeback, I thought of his father, who's passed away. But I have read about and heard about the relationship that he had with his father and how it made a difference in his life. Let's watch the clip.
Can't Tiger Woods compete with the Justin Thomases, Jordan Spieths, Dustin Johnsons?
No, is the short answer.
I appreciate this question a lot. Do you think he'll return his previous form?
No. Do you think he stands a chance of being the Tiger Woods we once knew?
No.
No, no, no. Here's what's going to happen. He is not ever going to win another tournament.
I don't think we'll ever see Tiger Woods win a golf tournament again.
He's showing up at these tournaments and pretty much knowing that he's not going to be there.
The short game is gone. His health is gone.
The next press release Tiger Woods should release should be, "I'm retiring."
I have considered him now for the last 5-6 years, a former golfer.
You're washed. Just give up while you're ahead. Retire with some dignity.
Tiger Woods that we all knew, he will never, ever be that guy again.
Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
As great as his father was for him and believed in him, you have a Heavenly Father who believes in you today. Come on, who's in your corner today? Who, when others say it'll never happen, God says with him, all things are. Who, when others say that your life is decaying and it's dead and it's over and you can never break loose of that habit, that thought process, that addiction, God says you can. Amen. What a good God we serve today. What a great Heavenly Father we serve today. Wow. Let's go back to the verse. I greet you with the grace and the peace that's poured into our life by God our Father and our Master Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Now look for these 7 steps, these 7 keys to the road to freedom. He says, how blessed is God? That should be our picture of God. He's a blessed God, and what a blessing He is. He's the Father of our Master Jesus Christ, and He takes us to the high places. Where does He want to take you? To the high places. Wow. Taking us to the high places of blessing in Him. Verse 4. Long before He laid down the earth's foundation, He had us in mind. Had settled on us as the focus of His love to be made whole. Notice, God wants you whole. God doesn't want you broken. God doesn't want you dysfunctional. God doesn't want you going through life hurt, wounded, and bruised. Someone said, even a broken crayon can still color. He takes our ashes and He turns them into beauty, the Bible says. So it says here, long before He laid down the earth's foundation, we were on His mind, and He wanted us to have not a fragmented life, not a dysfunctional life, not a defeated life, but a whole, complete, sound life. Holy by His love. Next verse, verse 5. Long, long ago. Sounds like Star Wars, right, church? Long, long ago, He decided to adopt us into His family. Hello, family of God. I sure do love you. The family of God through Jesus Christ. Verse 6. What pleasure He took in planning this. God's a long-term planner. God's a big thinker. He wanted us to enter into the celebration, the lavish gift-giving by the hand of His beloved Son. Verse 7, because of the sacrifice, that's Easter weekend, that's Resurrection Sunday, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, His blood poured out on the altar of the cross. We're free people. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. There is. Where's all my Baptists today? There is power in the blood. We'll stop there. Praise God for the Baptists. Amen. Because the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar, we are a free people. Not in bondage, not held hostage, the slave mentality, not held hostage by our culture or the color of our skin or our education or lack of it or our economics or lack of it or our upbringing or generational curses. God's blood is much more powerful than our generational curses and the curses that have been spoken over us and racism and prejudice and belittling and being judgmental. We're free. At last, we are free people. We're free people, free of the penalties and the punishments chalked up by all of our misdeeds. On Good Friday, you know, what did he do? He paid for our penalty of sin. But on Sunday morning, he purchased our freedom to live a free life, to enjoy life, an abundant life. Next verse. Verse 8, and not just, oh, please, to everybody here online, on the patio, the big screen, in the cafe. Look, and not just barely free. We're not just barely free. We can't just expect some parts of our life to have deliverance and other parts of our life, we just got to live with it. We just got to put up with it. We just got to lay down and accept it. We just got to give in to it because the redemption of Christ is just barely setting me free. There are some rooms of my life he can set me free, but there are secret rooms of my life that I've been told I'll never get over it. I'll never be free. No, he didn't go to the cross to make our life barely better. He went to the cross to make our life better. He went to the cross not to give us barely freedom, but abundantly free. Everybody say, not barely, but abundantly. Come on, not barely, but abundantly. One more time, not barely, but abundantly. Every area of your life, divorce, remarriage, rape, incest, abortion, alcoholism, abuse, molestation, whatever you've gone through, abundantly free, slave to nothing and no one but God Almighty. Come on, let's give it up for the Lord today on Easter. Woo! Not barely. You know, there have been some deals that I've been sucked into. They say, oh yeah, you know, no interest for 90 days. It's free. You know what I found out? There ain't nothing free. They might tell you it's free, but on the other end, you find out it wasn't really free. But the cross, the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, he didn't go there just to barely give us freedom. He went there to give us abundantly freedom because he knew ahead of time everything we're going to go through. And look what the scripture says. He provided, he thought of everything ahead of time. He knows what you're feeling today. He knows what you're going through today, the loneliness, the hurt, the pain, the opposition, the suffering. He thought of everything. And what did he do? He provided for you for every season, every hurt, every habit, every hang-up, every disappointment, every rejection. He provided for you what? Freedom in that area of your life. You know, here at our church, we believe in it. Every Thursday night, we have Celebrate Recovery. People are getting set free. We're actually taking it into St. Charles County Jail to the men and the women, and we're having incredible Bible studies right there in the local jail. And then not only that, we have small group freedom groups to help people find freedom. So not everything. He thought of everything. He provided for everything we could possibly need. Next verse. letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. Next verse. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan. God's a big thinker. Next verse. It's in Christ that we find out who we are as our identity. It's in Christ we find out who we are and what we're living for. Who we are and what we're living for. When you find Christ, you find freedom. When you find Christ, you find your real, true self and your potential. For it's in him we find out who we are, what we're living for, long before we first heard of Christ and we got our hopes up. He had his eye on us, and his design for us is not to live a weak life, a defeated life, a dysfunctional life, a fragmented life, a life of slavery, a life of bondage. It's for us to live a glorious life, an abundant life with abundantly free. We are free and free at last because of Jesus Christ. Yes, his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, I'm going to give you those seven steps, okay? Oh, maybe I better not. Won't you all come back next weekend and seven steps as the team comes out to the road to freedom. I promise you they'll work if you'll work them. I promise you. Number one is a personal relationship with God as your Father. Father, son, father, daughter relationship. Have a personal relationship with God as your Father. Number two, walk and live in your new identity as a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You are not a reject. You are not an alcoholic. You're not a drug addict. You're not a failure. You're not a mistake. You are a son and daughter of the Most High God. You are kings and priests. You are new creations. You are the apple of God's eye. You are God's workmanship. And somebody said, God don't make junk. Number three, speak God's word to create change in your life. Now, would you all look up here at me just for a second online? Would you look into these baby blue eyes? And that's this. When I say speak God's word every day, I'm saying take a promise and put it in your mouth and speak it. But listen very carefully. This is huge. Don't speak to communicate. Don't speak to communicate. Speak to create. Speak to create. Be intentional with your words. Speak what you want. Speak what you want to see come to pass. Speak what you want to create in your marriage, your relationship, your health, your body, your mind, your career, your finances. And speak words that will break the power of all those destructive words that has been spoken over you. Speak words that will create a new environment, a new atmosphere, new relationships. Don't just speak to communicate, and I understand speaking is communicating, but change it around and be intentional and speak to create. Speak to create. Speak words that will break the power of those words of people have said over you, making light, making fun, debasing, criticizing, raining on your parade, belittling you, telling you you got to put up with it, live with it, endure it, suffer it all the days of your life. Speak words that break the power of those words. And then we have number four, worship God daily. Yeah. Pastor, why? Well, we're all worshiping something. Our bodies, our health, our family, our marriage, our kids. A shotgun, a golf ball, a golf club, a fishing pole. We're all worshiping something because we were created to worship. Now, here's what I know. When we worship God, it changes our heart. When we worship God, it changes our heart. Okay, Pastor, big deal, but come on, make it more simple. Okay, when we worship God, it changes our heart, thus it changes our desires. Because your desires come out of your heart. Isn't it amazing when you and I start worshiping God for who he is and what he's done, we don't want to do what we used to want to do. We don't want to go with the people we used to go with. Our desires change naturally. Somebody says, well, you know, I do this and I do that. Can I come to your church? Will God accept me? Oh, yeah. Well, what, I do this and I do that. Well, big deal. Because the thing is once we start worshiping God, things start dropping off automatically. We don't need somebody to clean us. Worship changes our heart, changes our desires. No longer do we want to snort and chew and go with girls that... Sorry. No longer do we want to go out with the boys or the girls or hang out there. And it's not that we don't, you know, we have to do this. No, we want to do this because our wants have been changed through worship. So we're talking about the road to freedom. Amen. So number five is live forgiven and forgive others. Wow. Wish I had time for that. Live forgiven and forgive others. Number six, meditate in God's word. It'll give you new images on the inside. And number seven, walk in your purpose. Walk in your purpose. Know God, find freedom, discover your purpose. It's bigger than your past.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.